I hate you said that because now I want to get like a key going into ignition to actually start the car. Suave, what up, man?
Pause. And everything.
No Robert Kelly, no Diddy.
You feel me? Like you starting this episode off with some really shaky energy. I need you.
No. The energy is coming from the pre-roll, and we've learned our lesson. We, especially after this fiasco with this update to this program we're using.
This confounded contraption.
Everything and everybody can count their days. That's how we feel. I wish it would be the name of the episode, but that could be seen as too threatening. So
I'll relax. I don't care. Like I am not in a position where I feel like people's feelings need to be protected. Like why?
Oh man. Today is Tuesday, April the 16th. Yeah, my lord. 20 and 20. 4 for 4.
Would you like fries with that, sir?
Only if they're wedge cut. Yes.
Dipping sauce for your nuggets, pause.
Have I asked for tzatziki yet?
Yes. That's again? Your third time.
Well, I had lamb. Well,
look, what we're going to do is we're going to make a list of the dipping sauces that you've used.
I had lamb today, fam.
We're going to cross out tzatziki. We're going to cross out honey. Those two you can't use anymore until like after SummerSlam.
Oh man, that's
get some teriyaki, some Szechuan, like.
You know what? You know what? Yes. Nah. Hold on. No. I got one. You said teriyaki Szechuan. I want the sweet and sour that comes from the Chinese restaurant. The dark red sauce. I want that. Is that acceptable?
Good luck with that.
Wow. Let the church
say. I don't know who's supposed to be going across the street to get the red, sweet, and sour sauce.
I'll get a cup for a dollar. It might be worth it. Let the church say.
Hey, man.
Yeah, we've had quite the discussion before we started recording, as we always do. It goes all over the place.
For our audio subscribers, you'll be able to get all of that.
Yeah, because there's a couple of expletives that get thrown in there. It's cool. You get that, some of that banter.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of ready to go back to that. Considering what we just dealt with and what I'm dealing with from what I want to call it. It's not the corporate side, but from the schematics side of what we do. Like, okay, well, if we just going to pull...
We just got an invite
out from under me.
We just got an invite for a guest appearance.
Facts.
And based on the outcome of that guest appearance, that may determine how we proceed moving forward.
Actual factuals.
And I mean, why not shout them out? Ringside Club.
What up, though?
Gang, pencil pushers. Who knew?
Not sure what their release schedule is like, so but when we find out, we will let you know so that you can go support them, their channel, and the episode that we appear on.
As my man Scott Knox would say, it ain't small world, it's big people. So
what up, Knox?
So salute. We're gonna do a fast break offense, 30 minutes on the clock. Couple of topics this week. Our time begins now.
Run it.
You and I were talking about the future of WrestleMania.
Yes.
And you posed a question that I'm actually going to pose to you.
Okay.
Do we ever get back to a point where WrestleMania is only one night?
In short, my answer to that was no, because you're going to affect the bottom line in the bag. Why do 70,000, like, just look at WrestleMania 40. Why do 70,000 people in a stadium once when you could do it twice? The travel packages that get sold with this now 4-day weekend event, you're not going to want to charge any less for those. You're getting SmackDown, the Hall of Fame ceremony, NXT, WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2, and the Raw after Mania. Like, and these
That's
are
six. People coming from Well, actually, Hall of Fame and SmackDown together would be one.
Yeah, that's five. You get six events, but that's Friday. NXT is Saturday plus WrestleMania Night 1.
Yeah, it's five.
WrestleMania Night 2, that's three. And then Raw after Mania makes four.
SmackDown, Hall of Fame, NXT, WrestleMania, Raw. It's five.
I'm counting days. You're counting events.
Yeah. Oh, fifth flow. Go ahead.
See. We're going to have to get a real grasp on whatever it is you're in.
We're literally saying the same thing, just different ways.
We got to get you turfed up again. That's what that is.
I miss him. Oh, I miss him. But I got some goods, though. Ooh, shouts out to Greenwood Cure in Tulsa. Oh, man. I got some greatness. Shouts out to my guy Hassan, man. Love, bro.
You're still... No, it's six events. SmackDown is separate from the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Not in the same arena. It can't be. They're selling... it's a double ticket. It's one ticket for two events.
But you get an actual show, and then if you choose to stay, you get the Hall of Fame.
They're not. You think they're skimming on the ticket price for the Hall of Fame because people don't want to attend there, or SmackDown because people don't want to attend the Hall of Fame ceremony?
No, I'm saying that it's an additional event that goers can choose to participate in or not.
Okay, so I was saying SmackDown / Hall of Fame because they're in the same building, but yes.
I didn't combine those two because you even get a set change too because they change. They take the ropes down, give it black canvas,
all that.
Yeah, if there's a set change, I'm counting it as a separate event.
Which you have to now. And the cool thing is, so let's run numbers. Now that the Tron is down.
Gone.
We're getting roughly how many in a stadium? Or in an arena, not a stadium, in an arena.
In an NBA arena, I would say minimum 15 and some change.
I would be on the liberal side and say probably close to 20. We split the difference.
I can see that.
We'll split the difference.
I can see
difference.
That.
We'll call it 18.
All right. That sounds amicable.
So that's 18 for SmackDown, 18 for Raw, 18 for NXT. So that's 54,000 right there.
I love the fact that you did that math so quickly.
I mean, numbers guy, you know, let's get it.
And I vetted it. You're correct. I used my phone.
And then you take Scott Steiner. Then you take roughly 75,000 if it's in a stadium. And then you got 100% chance.
Multiply that by two.
You got 100% chance of multiplying that by the same amount of people for the next night. So now you got to take the 75, multiply it by two, you get 150, so you get a 100% return on investment. See, the numbers don't lie.
Ever. Follow the money.
204,000 people over the course of 4 days.
So we will never see a one-night WrestleMania again.
And they're already...
Unless something drastic happens.
They're touting... consecutive sellouts for WWE TV. They're touting the largest gates for Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, the largest gates for WrestleMania, and the tickets, whether you like them or you hate them, the tickets are affordable for all buyers. All buyers, meaning the bar is Trini Flag Guy. Shouts out to you.
You can get in the building. That's the most important part. Now, where you sit, different conversation. But you can get in the building.
If you're so high that you can touch a giraffe, Eagle Dandruff, that's what I would say.
Yes, high as Eagle Dandruff.
If you can catch Eagle Dandruff, you can afford to be in the building and get an experience, just to say that you were there.
Well, here's the thing. You know, what up, Uncle Tripp? Most of these NBA-sized arenas that Raw goes to, they usually have some sort of overhead hanging screen. So it's almost like your
scoreboard.
You cutting off your nose to spite your face. Like, for real. Like, the Tron, like, we've grown up with it because that was a part of the maturation process of Monday Night Raw, and it was all part of the stage setting.
And became part of matches.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that has to be a hassle to erect this massive structure. Pause.
And then you only have so many man hours to take it to set up and break down, especially for a crew that's working Orlando too.
And additional trucks. All of this book up. So when you're making more money and then you start doing logistical things to spend less, somebody is thinking.
Logistical things to spend less. Normally this week, and you can go back the previous 6 years, listen to our episodes, we have mass firings in WWE that we announce, and usually in real time.
Right.
That ain't happening this year because...
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Because we mess around and talk that up, and then the next thing you see is 18 people getting cut loose.
But it's all, you know, it's one time it actually happened the very next day because we talked about it the next day.
Boom. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm really not trying to be the reason, ain't no, but you ain't got no job.
Right. Yeah. You know,
I don't want to talk that up.
You know who
don't
ain't going to work?
Put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Fuck, mess around it. You know who ain't going to.
Yeah.
we ain't going to do that. So, the WWE production trucks, and like a lot of the staging has been cut back, and those personnel have been cut in the process.
And it opens up a whole different quality of seat, too.
You gain in salary and in seats possibly enough to save 10 or so talents.
You're going to end up with more money to spend on talent. And then they're doing this whole thing where like every match has a sponsor, so
that's just
they're making money hand over fist, and they're still finding ways to make more money.
And God love Pat McAfee, like the way he lambasted the sponsor for Monday Night Raw. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He healed the sponsor while bigging them up. So he made mention of them ad nauseum, while making them look as bad as they are good. And I'm talking about Men's Warehouse.
I mean, it's
genius.
It is. It adds an air of realism. It's like, okay, we're not just shilling for the sponsor. We're making sure that the sponsor is continuously mentioned.
Because Michael Cole's suits don't look bad, but
I've never really paid attention to him like that.
But these guys aren't
straight up and down.
They're not buying Men's Warehouse suits. They can
Corey Graves certainly ain't.
They can afford this stuff.
They don't make the kind of suits that Byron Saxton wears at Men's Warehouse
at all.
That's at Bishop all. Don Magic Wands collection.
Green and gold lining. The green is for the money. The gold is for the honey.
Speaking of suits, I need to sit Bobby Lashley down and have a conversation with him about that Zoot suit he wore on Family Feud.
Boy,
that Steve Harvey platinum label he put on. Like, hey fam, I know you got better. I know you got better
from THB to this. Hurt Business Bobby put cats on game.
Same.
MVP put cats on game. One of the flyest cats in WWE is Omos. He puts you on game. Bobby. Roberto.
Bobby looked like a Batman cartoon villain.
He looked like a mob boss in a penitentiary in the 1920s.
Like, these are like 1980s WWF locker room style rails up and down this suit. He's got pinstripes that look like what got the Iron Sheik and Jim Duggan in trouble.
Yo!
Yeah, I'm a wordsmith and I know
Bobby
what I'm
Lashley's
doing.
Suit was snortable.
Damn. The only thing with thicker lines was a football field. What are you saying,
Danny,
bro?
Danny Davis looked at Bobby Lashley's suit and was like, that's cold.
That's exactly what he looked like. It was a Danny Davis tribute suit. And I'm 100% certain that Bobby put that on to show love to Steve Harvey, but we could have chose a different situation.
Or at least have enough time to go see somebody in the sewing department and just get it brought in a little bit.
I'm not even tripping on the fit. I can't get over the reverse referee pinstripes.
the anti-footlocker.
If Nick Patrick ended up getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, that's the suit I would expect him to wear.
If you take a negative photo from a Foot Locker employee,
they put his suit in dark mode. That's, man, listen. And we love Bobby Lashley.
Bob,
this is unacceptable.
Bob, this is
this is unacceptable, Bobby.
Like, Swab, I appreciate you calling me the suit aficionado, and I'm not even on that level, but come on, man. I know better. I know
Bobby,
better.
Bobby, we love you, but look, between the Philadelphia Eagle tights at WrestleMania and this suit, you got one more strike.
My wife said, what in the evangelistic hell is he wearing?
Evangelist say. He got a book tour at 8, and then he preaching the next morning.
The episode might be called the Roast of Bobby Lashley.
I got tears in my eyes forming because, everybody else came with the game. And Bobby usually be in pocket.
Bobby's WWE suit game is bar level. It's bar setting. Your Family Feud game is upsetting. Oh, Bob, do better, brother. Do better.
We love you, Bobby.
While we're keeping it on, while we're keeping it on SmackDown, this is your daily acknowledgement.
Gang,
we have a new incarnation.
Bottom of the fifth just got lit.
Bloodline member. We predicted it years ago. Here we are. Free agent signee. Son of Haku, AKA the toughest person in the history of professional wrestling. Legit.
Bar none. We did a tournament. It's real.
It's official. Tama Tonga is now officially in WWE as Tama Tonga. I will say this.
Before I go into how cool this is, I have an announcement for the internet. I want you people, and I'm talking to you people, I want you people to stop trying to discount any member that's potentially pitched or added to the bloodline by saying, well, they're not even really related. First of all, we call Kane and The Undertaker Brothers of Destruction.
For decades. They weren't
born in the same state. So let's chill. And here's the other thing. Culturally, I don't think those same people, you people, I don't think they understand the cultural aspect of adopted family. I don't think that's something that happens so much for them to where they understand, like,
the country,
you adopt
the
cousins,
country cousin,
you adopt brothers and sisters.
The country cousin is as thick in your family as your blood relative.
See? So culturally, if we grew up together, it's the equivalent of blood couldn't make us any closer.
And family ain't always blood, and blood don't always make family.
But again, you know, hey. What I am sick of is a certain segment of the internet wrestling community going outside of their way to be overtly critical of people who look a certain way. Like, you want 100% logic when they're doing something, but when it's your other group, you ignore it all because you have this thirst to see them on top.
Meanwhile, Doug and Danny Basham are twins. Nah. Yeah. Yeah. Miss me.
Man, so you already know.
I can't think about Tama Tonga's comeback to WWE being complete without a complete demolishing of Camacho on the microphone.
That's a deep cut, but it's a deep cut that I don't think they're going to visit.
They would rather stay away from revisionist history than do what you can to like that's something that Michael Cole or Corey Graves may say in passing about riding a bike or something like that, but you can't tell me someone from the Samoan Isles or the South Pacific, because he's actually from Tonga and Fiji.
Okay.
Someone from the South Pacific doesn't feel shunned by having to put his culture to the side with his father's pedigree, all for the sake of a storyline or a character in a completely unrelated cultural background or that ethnic background.
That just gives you more insight on the previous regime.
Tone deafness on line one.
In short, let's just say, now you know.
That said, it appears that
Solo from the same Sikoa, people that brought you the Mexicos, Camacho.
On a bicycle.
You say, bro, on a beach cruiser?
A Lolo in Oakland. Or a scraper in Oakland, what it is.
Who taught you that?
I don't
know. Yeah.
Solo
side mission is going to be epic. So bottom of the fifth. Is looking very, very promising. I didn't expect Solo side mission. I knew something had to happen with him, but I didn't realize this was going to be it. I'm all in on this.
But to excommunicate Jimmy as fast as he did, and the fact that Solo painted the picture early. He dropped the seed by saying, by orders of the tribal chief. He never said Roman Reigns.
Axe. By order of the tribal chief, meaning me.
Me.
He said, it's me. I'm the tribal chief. When you lose, things change.
Look at me. I am the captain now.
That facts. Captain Phillips. Solo is on his Captain Phillips.
Man. And then, wait, hold on. We skipped all over Raw and forgot to do this. Because we didn't really talk about this week's Raw other than, you know, the whole Chad Gable thing, but
yes.
Once again, our GOAT, the person with the most world championship wins in wrestling history, R-Truth, gets new tags. WWE World Tag Team Champions, bruh.
New straps like a gun show.
I'm sorry. How can you hate on those belts?
Because you're miserable. Because you're miserable.
Are you just wanting conversation?
Yes.
We got it for you. Aesthetically, like we've had the pennies and the nickels the pennies and the dimes going back, because that design came back what 2005 when they just completely bastardized the tag team division.
Far too long.
And then they make them like dimes and for SmackDown and kept the copper. And then they went back to, it was rose gold, but you get the picture. Then they went to nickels and dimes for Raw and SmackDown. But those belts have been around far too long. The US title got a makeover. The IC belt got a makeover. The world title got a makeover. And Roman deserved to get whatever the biggest belt was because it's synonymous. He was synonymous with the brand. And I speaking of Roman, I love the fact that in broadcast media, anyone who mentions him from a wrestling world is acknowledging his greatness and calling him the greatest WWE champion of all time. You can talk about how little he defended the belt, but he literally wrecked everyone and left. There were no multiple matches, like runs with these people. He came through, he got number one contenders, bounced them, got them up out of there, went home, took a break, and then had to line up the next one.
So part of this with the whole hating his title reign because of defenses, first of all, you got to look at when this started. This started during the pandemic. How many people were actually available for him to walk through during that? Because this is a 4-year reign. So you can list off all the names that he knocked off and all the records that he set. Just look at the roster. Who was available to perform in a main event situation next to him that he didn't beat?
Including Brock.
Brock, Drew, Big E, Cesaro while he was still there, Edge, Daniel Bryan,
Strowman.
They never got back to Bray, which I feel like
I'd say probably Bray, yes.
Finn Balor, LA Knight,
yeah.
Logan Paul, AJ Styles, Randy Orton. That was all part of the four-way.
Bobby Lashley.
Give me another one. Because we already in double digits.
Jimmy.
Right. Sammy. Kevin Owens twice.
Like you literally ran out of people and had to run through your own family.
That's all I'm saying. Just look at the roster for the time that he was doing what he was doing. And you tell me who's missing. You got your match with Seth, and Seth ended up winning by DQ, but that's a plot point.
Not a pinfall.
It's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's just, that's long-term storytelling. That was on purpose. So tell me who he was supposed to wrestle that would have gotten that number up to where you think it should have been.
And if you think the answer was Cody at 39, unsubscribe us right now.
I mean, beat him too, so there's that.
The right guy won at 39. I'm still not convinced that the right guy won at 40, but this is what we get, so we'll take it. It's going to add to the story when he returns. Speaking Indeed. Of that story, War Games 2024. One side, we're going to have Solo and Tama Tonga. Who else is going to join them?
The bets right now has Jacob Fatu,
the Samoan Werewolf,
and The Rock.
Okay.
I'm not so sold on the idea that The Rock would participate in a War Games, but it's a cool idea.
Now, Cody did say something at Monday Night Raw that might be an Easter egg as far as what The Rock did, what he spent on training and whatnot, that he wouldn't do all this for one or two matches. He expects him to be around for much longer.
Right. Now, I 100% expect, I expect him in next year's WrestleMania. I kind of sort of expect him at SummerSlam, depending on what his schedule looks like.
Man.
I expect him for the big five pay-per-views to either have a match or some type of involvement.
And War SummerSlam Games, being one of those.
War Games is a different animal altogether because there is a structure involved with the ring and accidents can happen. Last thing you want is an accident involving The Rock.
Okay, perfect. Set Rocky to the side.
Okay.
Because that's already happened before. He was in the middle of doing some filming. He had a match with John Cena, tore his triceps. Filming got put on hold till he healed up.
Is that the same one where he tore his whole bottom half pause?
Basically, yeah. fast forward now, if we take him out of War Games, that leaves us with Jacob, that leaves us with Tama, and that leaves us with Solo. We're speculating here.
We've seen teams of three before.
Hold what you got. That leaves on the other side Roman, Jimmy, Jay, Sammy?
So we saw a poster. Well, I saw a poster on Instagram that I immediately sent to Wood, and I was like, I had completely taken Sammy out of the equation of like a bloodline reunion. But if you're gonna end up with a 4-on-4 situation, Sammy is the perfect choice.
Especially after Raw when the continuous camera shot with Jay went out there to meet up with Sammy before Sammy went back in to defend his IC belt.
That's probably the bigger emotional tug pause. The other option that's like a shoehorn thing, but I can also see it working, especially if Rock is the fourth member, is playing off what Cody said about, if you're gonna make me bleed, you're gonna bleed with me. Then Cody's the fourth member, like on some we don't know, but come on.
Okay.
Cause ooh. What I would absolutely love, and this is WCW style booking, is for Cody to be the fourth person. They all end up in War Games, and the entire bloodline just says, "Alright, we done with you," and proceed to beat him half to death for 15 minutes.
How about this? The fourth member is one that people already forgot about, and it's enough time to get him ready to just yank him over and pull him in. Zilla.
I've been saying Zilla was on the way. Some people don't believe me. Some people don't think he's ready yet. I'm just like, hey, you have options. You got Zilla, you got Lance, you got
Alpha Jr. just took over WXW.
Facts, salute on that.
Big salute.
He could
easily hop in on either side of the fence.
I don't know what Hikuleo's contract situation is right now. There is another Gorilla of Destiny.
And there's also Tangaloa. Yeah, so yeah, Hikuleo and Tangaloa are both over there.
What is Kona Reeves doing right now?
Ain't seen him in a couple years.
I mean, get that man a makeover. I mean, you have options. You have additional family members that you can get to fill a spot. So it could be someone we know, or it could be someone we're just meeting. So there's that.
Before we get up out of here, Swerve Strickland taking on Samoa Joe this Sunday. AEW Dynasty. I mean, Big Bruv and Brian Danielson is cool, but Swerve, bring it home, or we ain't turning on the TV on Wednesday.
We gonna give him that bonus cut?
Nah.
Don't know who ain't gonna win. Now, look, the tribalism, we can't do that. We spent the entire episode on WWE stuff. You already know how that's gonna go.
Okay.
Be fair and inclusive.
All right, cool. So check this out. I'm gonna do this. You're gonna hear the buzzer while it's playing, and we're gonna do 5 minutes overtime.
You know who ain't gonna win. We say that bitch again.
Say that one.
One,
two, two,
three.
Get your tail.
Say that one.
One, two, two, three.
Get the fuck on.
One,
one, two, two, three.
Get your tail.
Say that one.
One, two, two, three.
Get the fuck on.
That was a little looser than pause than what we usually do, but there it is.
I wasn't even thinking about that part. Oh, the return. Shout out to Big Chris, the return of forever.
Yeah.
Straight like that.
All right, 5 minutes on the clock.
Overtime.
It's an overtime purr. And that begins now. All right, so do you have the car pulled up, sir?
No, I do not.
I was too busy dancing to actually pull it up, but if you
sick, saw what I was doing, so if no, you, I don't have it.
If you're sick of all the hosts dancing on the podcast, come on over to Broken Pencil BC. AEW Dynasty coming to you live this Sunday from Chevette's Arena in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, if I know anything about St. Louis, that arena is not in St. Louis.
Listen.
Actually, it is. It's on the campus. It's right outside of downtown. It's on the campuses of SLU, as they say, North City. So,
you know who else is currently in St. Louis?
Who that?
Big Meech.
The real Big Meech?
No, not in real life. If you're keeping up with BMF, currently Meech is in St. Louis.
Shouts out to JD Williams, gang.
Thanks. I was like, wait a minute, is that Bodie?
Yeah. Acting up, bad attitude, need anger management.
Even cut my homeboy Frank off, man. That's cold blooded.
Hey, the way he said hurdle.
That was on purpose too.
Oh man, that is definitely by design.
So, how did we not get Nelly in that episode?
JD was cheaper. That's all I got.
No. I'm saying like Nelly could have played the little brother. Nelly could have played Carter.
Yeah.
Because he played baseball in real life.
But he. Nah.
Go, Dynasty card because the buzzer gonna go off.
Yeah. Will Ospreay versus, I'm sorry, Big Bruv versus the GOAT. GOAT Face Killer. Suave, who ain't gonna win?
I like that. GOAT Face Killer doing the job.
Three second 10 for GOAT Face Killer. All right. Nick and Matt taking on FTR in a ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team titles. Suave, who ain't gonna win?
FTR ain't gonna win.
I got the other. I got Nick and Matt not winning. That's a nice split. I'll take it. House rules match for the AEW TBS Championship. Julia Hart, the champion, taking on Willow Nightingale. Suave, who ain't gonna win?
Julia Hart.
I got Willow Nightingale not winning with interference from Mercedes Moné.
Willow been doing work. And I think putting that title on her is a good look, especially if she's basically going to end up as a transitional champion for Mercedes Moné. Yeah.
Okay. I you got me turned on that one. I got Julia Hart not winning. We got a new TBS champion coming. For the, it's just a trios match. This is going to be a nice one, too. House of Black, Malakai Black, Brody King, Buddy Matthews. Taking on Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingpin, Mark Briscoe, who is your new ROH World Heavyweight Champion. Suave, who ain't going
to win? Hit the and new while you do that. I'm taking the makeshift six-man team not to win. So Edge, Kingpin, and Briscoe take the L.
Who's taking the pin?
Copeland. I almost called him his other name.
I got Kingpin taking the pin on this one.
That was my first thought, but I was like, you know, Copeland. Cope feels like he's gonna try to set something up off taking an L in this match. So I'm, you know, he don't lose nothing. He's bulletproof.
Something tells me Eddie Kingpin's on another downward spiral.
I certainly hope not, but
He does. He does need to go defend that New Japan Strong Championship. For the AEW women's title, Timeless Toni Storm, your champion, taking on Thunder Rosa. Suave, who ain't gonna win?
Thunder Rosa.
See it, Thunder Rosa, it's been real. Timeless Toni Storm is she out here doing dirt in black and white. For the AEW Continental Championship, which means nobody can be at ringside, your champion, Kaz Okada, taking on Pac. Suave, who ain't gonna win?
Pac. We're not beating Okada anytime soon.
Man, I sure hate it. We're going to get a good match, but there's absolutely...
Oh, it's going to be fly.
I wouldn't be mad at a 60, but Kazuchika Okada is not losing his first title defense. Just not happening. Roddy Strong taking on Kyle O'Reilly for the AEW International Championship. Suave ain't going to win.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Wow, and that's 5 minutes. We only got one more match to go, so that's good. I'm with you. Kyle O'Reilly ain't going to win this. And then for the AEW World Championship, this is the match we've been waiting on. Champion Samoa Joe taking on Swerve Strickland.
I'm going to side with you, even though I don't really agree. in my heart of hearts, but I'm gonna say Samoa Joe ain't gonna win. But I don't have confidence that Konos is gonna pull the trigger on Swerve, at least not here.
I hope that the way I end this show today is gonna be the way we start the next show. And I'll tell you what how that is in a second. Hit us up, show at BrokenPistolBC.com, BrokenPistolBC at gmail.com. That's at BrokenPistolBC on all things social. Also, Broken Pencil Logic, all one word, is the Facebook group. Tap in with us, ask the questions, join the interact. We got one of the livest groups, especially during live events on the internet right now, especially on Facebook. So that show
at Broken Pencil.
Show at BrokenPistolBC.com. It's at BrokenPistolBC on what?
Everything.
Suave, take it to the house.
Pencil pushers, like, rate, subscribe, share. Tell a friend. Then watch whatever episode this is. 5 more. Then go back and tell that friend again.
Listen to select episodes from season 1 and look how good we've gotten from then to now. I mean, it's a constant progression. If you don't evolve, you go extinct. Go ahead.
Pencil pushes, heads up. Pencils down.
This is how I want to start next episode. AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Swerve Strickland.